truly good once again to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we welcomed yesterday morning and it was raining, went about our day and it continued to rain, laid down last night, still raining. Woke up this morning, and guess what? Still raining. And as we are gathered here at this moment, still raining. And as I looked at different people come in this morning, some were pretty wet. And Brother Mark's own were pretty dry. Some had frowns on their faces, and some had smiles on their faces. Different reasons, of course. And the sound of their voices, your voices, tells a lot about how your weekend went. As I stepped out the door, the first thing I told Anita, I don't know if it was still raining, but I don't think so because we knew that it's a wonderful day. Amen. Glorious day. I didn't say glorious, I think it's a good day. It's not cold, it's not too hot, but it's a good day. Amen. It can rain from now until, and it's still going to be a good day. It's not the rain that we have to worry about. For God said unto Noah, at the sign of the rainbow, I will never destroy the earth with water again. Amen. But Butch, what did he run off to? He didn't run off anywhere, right? I'm just blind. The waters may come under the doors, but that's okay. There's a drain for those type of things. And what I want you to realize on this morning is that our life is not filled with rain. Our life is not dependent upon if we wake up on it in the morning, what are we going to do? Our life is dependent upon Christ. Amen. So the title of the lesson is Life in Christ. Life in Christ. Now there may be someone here this morning that's not a member of the Lord's church. Do not fully understand what it means to have a life in Christ. We were talking this morning in Bible study and on the book of Galatians chapter 5, and that's in this lesson as well, about instead of having a life in Christ, we are having a life according to this world. But in Galatians chapter 2, the verse is 20. Galatians chapter 2 and the verse is 20. For I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. A life in Christ. Sister Dominga has a new baby. The baby was born. The baby is living. The baby has life. That baby is all right in the eyes of God. Has a life in Christ right now. Amen. Born once. What's going to happen one day? Brother Colbert? I know it's too soon to think about it, but think about it. That baby's going to die. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us that. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. We talk about appointments that we have to keep, that we are going to keep. That is, going to be born, you're going to live, and you're going to die. Then you're going to be judged. Now, if you don't have a life in Christ, your day of judgment, that appointment is going to be one that you do not want to see. But I want you to think about God sending his son to this earth. He sent him to this earth, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. Sent his son to this earth in order to save his people from their sins. It's Matthew 1, 21. To seek and to save those that were lost, Luke 19, 10. And if we are never found, it's our fault. We're the one that's hiding. As Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. They were hiding from God. And God asked them, where are you? We hid ourselves. Why? Because we were naked. Who told you you were naked? Did you eat of that tree that I told you not to eat of? See, some died prematurely. They died before their time. They died because they are disobedient unto God. A separation away from God. That spiritual death. If you are living the way God wants you to live, you don't have to worry about that. If you've done the things that God has laid out for you in his words, you don't have to worry about that. For children of God do not sin. Children of God do not sin. You have to understand what I mean by that now, because the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But if you're walking in the Spirit, you're not giving in to the fleshly desires, you're not sinning. Just keep that in mind. In the book of John, chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, there's some teaching that needs to be done to our children or with our children. There's some teaching that needs to be done to others. Or with others that are not members of the Lord's church to understand them, to them that they have been born into this world. But a lot of them are still a part of the world where they need to be born in Christ. John chapter 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Born again. What do you mean again? I'm already living. I have to be born again? And remember, as you look at this, at Nicodemus' statement here, where we have a lot of people today are just as dumbfounded as Nicodemus was. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Must be born again. This is something that we need to teach people. This is something that we need to stress to people as we look at Ephesians chapter 2. Where the scripture reading came from this morning, Ephesians chapter 2. That being born again means that we are now children of God. And if we would live faithful unto that, that we do not have to worry about dying a second death, as we find that there are two births, we can escape that second death. Amen. By being faithful. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, talks about their former condition. The lives in which they were living that were displeasing unto God. And many of us can think about our former conditions, and we can think about the things in which we used to do. We can say, I thank you, God, for not allowing me to remain in those ways. Then we look at verses 4 through 7, and he talks about the greatest news that was ever given that many people are still rejecting today. The great news about salvation. The great news about Jesus coming to this earth and living according to how the Father wanted him to live, and going to the cruel cross of Calvary to be crucified, buried, and raised up on the third day, to ascend into heaven, to sit up on the right hand of the Father. Men are rejecting that today. The greatest news has ever been given. And because of that news given, we find from verses 8 through 10 the amazing grace of God. Amen. Unmerited favor. God has showed grace to us all. And he's waiting, long-suffering, patient, for men that are still being disobedient to turn to him. Men that have put Christ on, but yet they'll stray back out into the world. He's waiting on them to come back. So the question would be, how long is he going to wait? How long is he going to wait? You know, I think about that phone call that many of us, we just really hate to get. The phone call that says that your sister has died, or your brother has died, or your mother, or your father, or your uncle, or your aunt has died. The only way that you're not going to get that phone call is you die before the next man. And the only way that you're not going to give that phone call to anybody is that you have died as well. But it's sad that when we get that phone call, individuals have died outside of Christ. They don't care that Jesus came to this earth to save the sins of the world. They don't care about those things. Or they did not care about those things. And they lived their lives in a fashion that God would say, you are not mine in the end. Isaiah 59 verse 1 and 2, it tells us that it's because of what we have done or what we do that we're separated away from God. Okay. It's not anything anyone else has done. Flip Wilson would say, the devil made me do it. No. You do what you want to do. Okay. A lot of people tell you that. I'm grown. I can do what I want to do. You're absolutely right. You can do exactly what you want to. God is not going to make you do anything, just like he didn't make Adam and Eve not eat of that tree. Just like he didn't make Pharaoh let his people go. He just put the message out there. Message is very clear on what we're supposed to do, but many people fail to do it. Man. And when you fail to do what is right, you're going to get exactly what you deserve. The wages, the Bible tells us, of sin is death. Separation away from God, never to be joined with him again. So we have to do what's right. We have to live a life that's pleasing to him. We have to understand that when we serve sin, we're serving the devil. Serving the devil. We look at verse 1 through 3 in Ephesians chapter 2. And he says, and you had he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. God has made us alive. That's what Paul is telling the church of Ephesus here. He's done the same thing for you and I. He's made us alive. We were dead in trespasses and sins, but he has quickened us, made us alive. Where in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. The old devil. The prince of this world. Yes, the Bible tells us that God is Lord of lords, King of kings, our God Jesus. He's that man. But yet the prince of this world is nothing but the old devil, and he is trying to get many people to follow after him. We sing a song that this world is not my home. There's no way it could be our home. Satan is the ruler of the world. He's the one that's trying to get people to come away from God, to turn their backs on him. But yet, we need to hold fast. It says in verse 3, among whom also ye have had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh of the mind, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Now, how many people do we have here this morning that has never sinned before? How many people that we have here this morning says, you know, I don't have to worry about sin. I don't have to worry about turning my back on God. I'm not going to fall. How many people do we have here this morning that can say that? You know, we would hope that no one turns their back on God. We would hope that you would not participate in sin, but none of us can say that we have never sinned. None of us can say that. It's important that we realize that when we serve sin, we'll turn our backs on God. We're saying that his word is not that important. I don't care that he says that he's going to judge the world by this man, this Jesus. I don't care that he says he's going to judge the world by him, one that was sinless. I'm going to live the way I want to live. That's the way of the world. That's what it means to be a son of disobedience. To be the offspring of the disobedient one. You're of your father, the devil. Mm-hmm. So we have to be careful who we're following. We have to be careful of what we're doing. And we have to live a life that God is pleased with. Yeah. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. 1 John chapter 3, verse 4. John, as he writes, he addresses the children of God. And he tells them there in verse 4, whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now, we hear God's word, and we understand God's word, but we just disregard it. Like, that's not important. I there's many things that go through our minds from time to time. And you can read a story and you can believe every word that story says, and you can sit there and you can shed tears because old Yeller died. But when you pick up God's word and you read it, you say, that's no way that those things could be true when our Savior died. We have men like that. We have men saying that Jesus has not come yet. Oh yes, you say Jesus came, but he was just another prophet. Oh, Jesus was not just another prophet. Jesus is the prophet. Jesus is the one that has told us of the things that's going to happen, things that has happened, and things that will happen. Jesus is that man. And we need to understand what his word is telling us and the things in which we need to do in order to be pleasing unto God. The condition of the Ephesians, they were lost. They were lost. But they heard the good news, starting with verse 4. They heard the good news. As many people have heard today, they have heard the good news. Remember going back to Acts chapter 8 just for a moment. Acts chapter 8, when Philip was led to the chariot of the eunuch, and the question was asked to him, as we talked about on last week, do you believe or do you understand what you're reading? And his answer was, how can I except some man guide me? The Bible says that Philip took him from that very passage in which he was reading out of Isaiah and preached unto him Jesus, the good news. See, we need more people today to preach the good news. We need people today that will be willing to tell about the good news of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ and what he has done for the world, what God has done for the world by sending him to die. We need more people. It says in John 3:16, we talk about the mercy of God, how rich it is. What does that really mean? about the great love that God has loved us with. What does all that mean? It means this, that God, the Bible tells us in John 3:16, for so loved God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. The good news. Good news do you have? What good news are you willing to accept, or what good news are you willing to spread? A lot of you all are going to go back to work on tomorrow. You're going to work 2 or 3 days, maybe 4. But Dan says the first is really not that important. Some of y'all may work on the first. But when you go to work, what if your boss tells you, I know that you've used up all your vacation, but go ahead and take the rest of the week off and I'm going to pay you. That would be some good news, wouldn't it? Amen. How many of you are going to say, no, no, I just rather work. I'd rather work. My wife would say she would rather work. I don't understand that. But that's just her. She loves her job, and if she doesn't love her job, she wouldn't be doing her job. But I would be doing my very best to convince her, baby, they say they're going to pay you to stay home. That would be some good news. But when we start talking about sharing the good news of Christ, how many of us are willing to do that? Went to the eye doctor yesterday, and I just want to share this with you all. These are just cheaters, again, just cheaters. The doctor said, I got 20/20 vision. There are times I can't see, I still have 20/20 vision, so I use these cheaters. But the doctor happened to be, whatever. The doctor happened to be a member of the church. And I didn't know that at first, but as we were talking and about this, that, and the other, and he asked me what was my occupation, what did I do, you know, just to see exactly how blind I was. And I said, I'm a preacher. And he said, what do you preach? I said, the West End Church of Christ. And we kept talking and kept talking. And he finally, you know, told me where he attend, and we kept talking and talking, and he said, well, I guess I better get back to work before I get in trouble. See, there is a time to share good news, and there is a time to do your job. But all of us have breaks from time to time from the work that we do, and we can tell that we can share the good news about Jesus. And we need to share that good news so that people may know what they need to do about God's mercy. Look at verse 4. Of Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 4 of Ephesians 2. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. He's rich in mercy. You know, what do rich people do? Rich people generally want to share things with you. Our God is rich in mercy, and he has shared his mercy with us. Even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. By grace ye are saved. It's important that we realize this. That it's because of what God has done for us, we are saved. We have a life in Christ. We have a life in Christ. It says, even though they're going back and looking at what he says, we're actually continuing with verse 4 and verse 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he has loved us, even when we were dead, it says, in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. Dead through our trespasses, by the things in which we have done. He has made us alive in Christ. A life in Christ is something that is obtainable. We can get there. We can reach it. Now, we have set some goals for ourselves that we know we'll never reach. But this is one goal that you can reach, a life in Christ. A life in Christ. If you don't believe it, give him a try. Give him a try. See how successful you can be living a life that God is pleased with. Oh, it may not change your job. It may not change where you live. It may not even change, you know, the type of car you drive. But that life in Christ is so much better than a life out there in the world. Amen. So much better. Why? Why do we talk about these things? Because sin separates us from God, and we don't want you to be separated away from God. We want you to be with God. Man. He has made us alive together with Christ. Let's go to the book of Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. Oh, we serve a good God. We serve a God that is willing to give us that time to get our lives right. And for the man that does not, and he dies in his sins, shame on him. Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11. For God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, the reconciliation, being back together with him. It's great to realize what God has done for us, but it's even greater or even better to accept what he has done for us. You get that phone call, oh, mama made a cake. Oh, good. But it's even better when you can go and enjoy that cake. That's what life in Christ is all about. God has done his part. He's waiting on man to do his. He's waiting. How is this made available to us, though? How are we to appreciate this good news? Well, how did God do it? The Bible is simple. It tells us exactly how God did it, because many people are not going to believe it until they see it. And in rightness, sometimes good enough for some, but others you have to show them. But the only thing I can do today is show you in writing. In the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 5. How is this made available to us? This life in Christ. How is it made available? Many people are rejecting what God has said, but this morning, I want you to take time to think about it. And if you need to accept it, accept it. Romans chapter 6, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also be in the likeness of his resurrection. This is how it's made available to us. Are you willing to accept it? Are you willing to teach it? Are you willing to share it so that someone else may understand what they need to do? The problem that we have why so many people are not accepting what God's word says is because they're looking at our lives. They're looking at the things that we're doing. And they're realizing that you that say that you are Christians, yet you're not living a life that God is pleased with. You're living like we are living. So therefore, men, they don't want to accept the truth. So we need to change what we're doing and live how Christ lived. Live like God would have us to live. And continue to teach people the things that are right. Back to the book of Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. As we look at the last verses here. Ephesians chapter 2. 8 through 10. Actually, go back to verse 6 and come down through 10. It says, it has raised us together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and the goodness of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. But we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has not changed anything. The plan has always been there. He's waiting on us to accept the plan. He's waiting on us to change how we're living, how we're viewing his word, and what we're going to do with our lives. He wants us to present our lives, as the Bible tells us in the book of Romans chapter 12, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. That means that you don't participate in sin. You don't go about waking up in the morning thinking about how much sin can I commit and how much can I get away with, this, that, and the other. You wake up thinking, how much can I please God today? Amen. How much can I tell others about Jesus Christ that will cause them to think about how they're living their lives and waiting on them to change? How much can you do? Verse 9 again, not of works lest any man should boast. It's not about us, it's about God. Try it tomorrow. Go up to one of your co-workers and say, how did you wake up this morning? A lot of them will say, the alarm clock woke me up, or the dog woke me up, or my wife woke me up, or my husband, or my children. And you can probably count on one finger. I mean, they'll say, God woke them up this morning. If they don't realize that, that God is the one that woke them up, you got your work cut out for you. But when you can get them to realize that it was God that woke them up, there is a God, he woke them up, and that he has provided a way that we can live with him throughout all eternity, there's a chance. Salvation is God's work, not man's. God is the one that saves. A lot of times, oh, look what I've done. You haven't done anything. God has done it. He's waiting on us to do what we're supposed to do in order to come to him. He tells us that we're supposed to go out and to preach the word and to teach the truth. But we cannot save anybody. It's hard for us to save ourselves. I know the Bible tells us that, you know, save yourselves or save yourself and you can save others as well. But God is the one really that's doing the saving. It's by his saving grace. It's by his mercy. That we can benefit from his word. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 in the verses 3. 1 Thessalonians 1 in the verse is 3. Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For in the sight of God and our Father, there are some things that we need to remember. And Paul, as he writes to the church of Thessalonica here, he's telling them, you remember without ceasing your work of faith. Where is your faith? Who is your faith in? It should be in God, not man, but in God. And if your faith is in God, you realize that God is the one that saves. Well, I'm going to trust in what he says. I'm going to trust in what she says. You need to trust in what God says. Because man can lead you astray as they did or led astray in the Garden of Eden. It's important that God appoints certain things to be done. And it's important for us to realize what those things are and that we do those things. When we have done what we're supposed to do, God will do what he has said he will do. Maybe you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, and you're ready to become one. Don't hesitate. Don't put off any longer. We encourage you to come and to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, to have your sins washed away in the water of your baptism, to live a life that is pleasing unto him until the very end. We encourage you to do so this morning. Maybe you're here, you're straight away from the fold. We want to encourage you to come back before the everlasting too late. Come and confess your fault. Allow the congregation to pray for you that you may be saved. If you hear it yourself, we ask you to come and stand and sing.